Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll find out how you can help pass veteran-friendly legislation, discover some mental wellness resources for our troops, and learn about Fort Snelling's traveling chaplain. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
150 soldiers of the Cambridge-based 850th Horizontal Engineer Company are deploying. While the unit is part of the 682nd Engineer Battalion today, the unit has a long history of transitions. The unit's history starts with being the 257th Military Police Company based out of Cottage Grove and deploying in 1990 in support of Operation Desert Shield and Desert Storm. In 1995, the unit reorganized into Fox Battery, 151st Field Artillery, deploying soldiers to Europe and Southwest Asia in support of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom. In 2006, the unit reorganized once more to what is now the 850th Horizontal Engineer Company. Today, this Horizontal Engineer Company is deploying to Afghanistan. The unit is made up of 10 women and 140 males from all corners of our state. While deployed, their primary missions will include road construction, assisting with base closures, and force protection. Though this is the first deployment for the 850th as a unit, many of them have deployed before. There is no doubt that this will be a challenging deployment for our soldiers. They need to know that the full support of our state and the Minnesota National Guard is behind them. Additionally, I'd like to thank the families of our deploying soldiers. Families are the backbone and key support system for our soldiers. We need families to stay connected with their loved ones, stay connected with other families going through the deployment process, and to connect with their local Yellow Ribbon network. Minnesota's Beyond the Yellow Ribbon is there during this time to improve the wellness and resiliency of our service members, their families, and employers. Thank you for listening. Today's veterans are talented, team-oriented, and technologically savvy. Help good business get better by hiring today's veteran.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Lee Alfords, who is the Department Commander of VFW, the State of Minnesota, and also the Chairman of the Commander's Task Force, which is made up of the 9 veteran service organizations authorized in Minnesota. Lee, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Lee, I understand we've got an important legislative event coming up, Veterans Day on the Hill. Can you tell me about it?
Indeed. We will be gathering on March 12, 2013 at the Rotunda at the Capitol. We will meet at 9:30 in the morning, and we'll have a ceremony there that will go roughly from 9:30 to 10:30, 10:45. At that time, we will then disperse to our various legislators, and we will promote the agenda of the veteran service organizations.
Lee, I saw you had a handout with you today. Is that something you're going to give out to everyone that shows up at the Veterans Day on the Hill?
Yes, we will have brochures available that highlight all of the items that we have talked about in the Commander's Task Force, something that we all pretty much agree on, that are issues that are very important to our veterans here in the state of Minnesota.
So these are legislative issues that you, the commanders of the other veteran service organizations like the Legion, Purple Heart, so forth, have identified as the important issues that we want to push in this legislative session.
That's correct. And we've also talked with the governor about them, and we're hoping that these items have been included in the governor's budget. But until the legislature acts and until they pass that budget, all of these items obviously are up for discussion.
Lee, can you give us a sample of some of the items?
Sure. The first one, and probably the one that we are most concerned about, is the funding of the last addition to the Minneapolis Veterans Home. Last year in the bonding bill, there was $30 million cut out that would have completed phase four of our improvements at that veterans home. This year, we're asking the governor to put that back in so that those final improvements can be completed.
Lee, I understand that completes the campus and ties the buildings together and makes it a much more veteran-friendly home.
It does indeed. And one of the problems that we ran into when I was out there just a week ago when I took a tour of the building once again, a lot of the mechanical systems, the telephone lines, all of that are tied together in that last building. And if we do not complete them, it's going to take a lot of additional funding just to put individual resources in the buildings that are there.
Be great to get that done. What else are we pushing this year?
We've got a veterans lottery ticket, which we're hoping to pass through that will come through. And the money from this this lottery, if we do get it, will go towards veterans issues. Strictly, it will become under the leadership of the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs. We have Gold Star program funding that we're hoping will come back to the MDVA, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, so that right now the national program for the Gold Star families is being cut. And we want to see that continued. We would like to see that under that direction of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs so that, once again, the Gold Star families, those that have lost family members in the current conflicts, will be able to gather together once a year and share their grief, share their stories, and find mutual support amongst them.
So this is so Minnesota veterans can take care of Minnesota Gold Star families right here at home.
That's correct.
What else do we have in there, Lee?
We have funeral honor guards. This is something that's really become an important issue, especially as we get into the outlying state. There aren't any color guards that are available to give the last rites, to give the final honors due our veterans. The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs has a program that allows $50 stipend to all any color guard that provides those ceremonies. We are hoping to continue that so that, our veterans can have the final respect that's due to them at the gravesite.
We're speaking with Lee Elfords, the chair of the Commander's Task Force and the department commander for the VFW State of Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Lee, we've been talking about Veterans Day on the Hill, March 12th, 2013, a rally at the Rotunda from 9:30 to 12:30. It's important to get as many veterans out to this as possible, right?
Yes, it is. Obviously, there is strength in numbers, and the more people are there, the more people that we can get to our individual legislators to make sure that they're aware of the items that are important to us.
So they come out early, we'll give them the pamphlet, we'll talk about these things, then go talk to our state legislators and try to get some of this veterans legislation through this session.
Indeed, and we're hoping the people that do come will call their individual legislators, whoever they happen to be, and make an appointment with them so that they can go directly from the rally to the representatives' offices and visit with them one-on-one.
Lee, you've got a few other things in there. We've got a couple minutes left.
Yes, there's. We're looking for funding for the Southeastern Minnesota Cemetery. We need some additional monies for that. There is a need for technological upgrades to our veterans' home. Right now, if there were to be a catastrophic event where all power and everything was knocked out of our homes, we don't have the technology to immediately turn those systems back on, and we need some upgrades to that. We're looking for some new veterans license plates, and there are a number of other issues, too, that are in this this brochure. But we're hoping, even beforehand, if you go to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs website, that all of these issues will be on that website, and we would hope that our members would become familiar with those.
And we'll have a link to those issues for Veterans Day on the Hill on our Facebook page at Minnesota Military Radio. Lee, this is all about veterans helping veterans and an opportunity to get over to the state capitol and talk to legislators and try to tell them how important these issues are, and they're all endorsed by the 9 veteran service organizations.
Indeed. We don't have professional lobbyists. We do our own lobbying. We're hoping our members will help us to do that.
So we need a lot of our veterans to show up, get those old sergeants out of bed, and get them over there.
Indeed.
Lee, tell us when it is again.
Again, it is March 12th, 2013, in the Capitol Rotunda.
Lee, I hope we get plenty of people to show up over there. March 12th, 2013, Veterans Day on the Hill, 9:30 to 12:30. One other thing before you go, I know your commander's project is a Ride for Healing. How's it coming together? And what is it for those that haven't heard?
Outstanding. What this is, it's a chance for Vietnam veterans throughout the state of Minnesota to gather together. We will be leaving the state capitol grounds on Memorial Day, May 27th. We'll be riding throughout the state. We'll gather together in Brainerd on June 1st. Again, it's a ride for Vietnam veterans to bring them together, to have them welcomed home and give them the honor and recognition that we feel the Vietnam veterans have earned and have not received to this point.
We'll have you on live Memorial Day morning, and then you're going to spend the day or the week traveling around the state to various VFWs.
Correct.
We're going to invade Cragen's up at Brainerd.
Indeed.
And the memorial wall, the traveling wall, is going to be up at the fairgrounds for some events on Saturday.
That's correct.
And Sunday morning, live from Cragen's Dining Room at Gull Lake, Minnesota Military Radio, and my co-host on that show is the one and the only Lee Alfords. Lee, how the planning's going well? How many people are going to join you? Any idea how many are going to be on the ride from the four corners of the state?
It's a scary thought right now. As far as official registrations, we have a website. It is rideforhealing.com, and anybody can check it out. But our registrations have been slow, but we keep hearing of all the motorcycle clubs, classic car clubs that are going to be joining us. It could be anywhere from 10 people to 5,000 people. We have no idea, but we're hoping there's going to be a lot of people.
So check it out. That's rideforhealing.com. And one last time, Lee, Veterans Day on the Hill?
March 12, 2013.
And you're going to rally at the Rotunda from 9:30 to 12:30 and hand out these pamphlets on these veterans' issues and chat with our state legislatures.
Indeed, sir.
Lee, you're doing a great job. Thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me.
It was Lee Alfords, chair of the Commander's Task Force and department commander of VFW in Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Joining me now is First Lieutenant Tara Robertson, who is the Deputy Program Manager for Resilience, Risk Reduction, and Suicide Prevention. And we're going to talk about awareness of mental wellness and resilience resources from beyondtheyellowribbon.org. Lieutenant, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, great. Thanks for having me.
Lieutenant, that's the longest title I've seen for a Minnesota National Guard person yet.
I know, right? Especially when you go to type it out in the email, it becomes quite long. So we've shortened it up to say R3SP. You know the Army loves their acronyms.
Uh-oh, they just violated one of the rules. No acronyms on the show. Lieutenant, how long have you been in the Minnesota National Guard?
I've been in for about 7.5 years now. I've been working for deployment cycle support since the end of 2010, and I had a deployment to Afghanistan in 2011 through 2012, and then came back into deployment cycle support in November of 2012. So I've been working with this program now for a few months.
So you were on that specialized agribusiness team that went to Afghanistan?
That is correct.
And what did you do there? It was a fascinating team. I understand that the Minnesota National Guard went out to all of the soldiers and airmen in the Guard, and they're looking for specific training, background, experience. So you must have volunteered for that trip.
You know, actually, I was one of the few that didn't volunteer. They ended up picking us based off of our civilian skills. And at first, I thought it was a little bit of a mistake because I didn't have an agriculture background, but I do have a science background. So I was going there to try to help improve some of their agriculture practices, and they're more professional people, like their veterinarians and in the testing that they did for their animals and things like that. And what I ended up doing was a little bit different, however. Worked a lot with the government and worked a lot with their agriculture extension agents on improving some of the practices that they currently had. But the biggest portion of it was really working on improving the governance where they had sent me, because the governance really wasn't functioning at the capacity in which it needed to be, and they didn't have a lot of local support from the people in the area. So I really worked hard with a civil affairs team out there to try to get the people trusting in their government, not only related to agriculture, but in all facets of their government.
So, Lieutenant, how rugged was the terrain? Were you out in the boonies, kind of?
I was very much so out in the boonies. I got sent by myself with two security forces out to a really small combat outpost in the district called Mizon in Zabul province. And there was only 43 U.S. soldiers out there. And it was in a valley surrounded by mountains, and the terrain out there wasn't conducive to driving vehicles at all. So everything that we did was dismounted foot patrols out to the villages, and sometimes days at a time. But I got the real Army experience of showers only 7 to 10 days, and you know, not the most wonderful living conditions, if you could say that. But it was a really good experience.
So it was quite a deployment.
It definitely was quite a deployment.
Well, Lieutenant, now you're over there in the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon and deployment support, and you're working on mental wellness and resilience resources. Now, the Adjutant General has put some priority into resilience training, hasn't he?
Absolutely. leadership from the top down in the state of Minnesota has been stressing the importance of building resilience within the force and encouraging all service members to get the help that they need. And guidance has been published that mandates levels of training within the units and training requirements in the areas of resilience and suicide prevention. So it's definitely a stress from the top down that units need to comply with these requirements and provide the services to the people in their units.
Lieutenant, when I was in the service many years ago, if we had some kind of a problem coming back from Vietnam, we usually didn't talk about it because we were afraid we wouldn't get promoted and we might get thrown out of the military. How willing are your soldiers and airmen today to step forward if they have some kind of problem, for instance, coming back from a deployment like you just did?
Well, there's still a stigma in the military, and it's not a stigma that comes from our leadership. It's a personal stigma, I think. People are just afraid, and a lot of that, I think, has to do with the personality of people that are in the military and wanting to be strong and portray themselves as not ever needing help. I mean, we're all soldiers or service members, and so we have a tendency to not want to reach out for help even when we really need it. But the message is being put out from all levels that it's okay and definitely encouraged for people to get help. And I consider myself to be in a really unique position in being able to work in this program, because after returning from deployment, I myself needed to get some help. And I'm in the position now to be able to help other service members get help and to tell them that it's okay, because look, I'm going through this the same way that you're going to need to go through this. And I'm about to get my promotion to captain coming up soon. It's not affecting my career. You can see that people are okay with me doing what I'm doing for myself, and I'm going to encourage you to do the same thing. So I use my own personal story, and I'm really looking forward to the opportunity to continue to do that in developing our program.
So the message is, if you have some issues, step forward, let's get some help, let's work through it, and then let's get back to work.
Absolutely, 100%. We can see a lot of the issues, too. It doesn't correlate with having a deployment or not having a deployment. Some of the top five things that we see are issues with employment, financial issues, relationship issues, mental health issues, and substance abuse issues. But they all tie together. If you look at them, it's kind of almost like they're linked together. If you have troubles with your job, you're going to have financial problems. A lot of financial problems will lead to problems in your relationships, which can lead to mental health problems and possibly substance abuse problems. So we have the resources and the training available to help people with those kinds of things. Not only the service members, but also the family members as well.
We're speaking with First Lieutenant Tara Robertson from the Minnesota National Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. Lieutenant, I understand that a lot of the units have now put some of their personnel through training to become resilience trainers, resilience help. If your soldiers and airmen step forward, are there trained specialists ready to help them now?
There are, that are at the unit level. We have several different types of people that are trained. We have master resilience trainers that go to a 10-day course to become certified to teach a resilience curriculum. And they teach anything from detecting icebergs to overcoming some of the daily life challenges. But a lot of what they're training on is determined by what the commander sees as issues within their unit. So if they have issues, financial issues, they will talk a lot with the personal financial counselors that we have available to develop some skills and things that they need to put across to the members within their unit. So it's not only do we have those, but they have assistance. We also have suicide intervention officers. We have unit prevention specialists that train on substance abuse issues. We have military family life consultants and also director of psychological health. So there's a plethora of people that are at the unit level and then also within the deployment cycle support and advocacy office that are available for units.
Lieutenant, are we putting some of our soldiers and airmen through some training so that they can recognize the potential signs of suicide awareness and those type of issues so that we can get help for those who look like they need help early?
Yes. What I talked about earlier when I said that there's mandated training right now, it is required for all units and all service members in the Minnesota National Guard to go through 4 hours of suicide prevention training a year. And in that training, they learn how to combat the signs of suicide, the warning signs. They talk about the resources that are available. They go through vignettes, and they're really walk away from that training, have a much better idea on some of the more subtle things that they need to look out for in their buddies.
So you're trying to cause everybody to watch out for everybody else. And if we see some signs, let's get them some help, and then we get back to work.
That's right. And again, trying to reduce that stigma and say, if you're having some issues, it's okay to get help because we're here to help you.
Sounds like a pretty healthy situation getting better.
Yes.
Lieutenant, do you also have some resources available to help the family members?
We do. All of the curriculum that we have is available on our beyondtheyellowribbon.org website. And right now we're in the process of retooling the website to make everything available to the family members, because one of our biggest challenges is getting the resources to the family members. Everything that's available for the service members is also available for the family members. And if you think about it, the family's going to be the first line of defense on the people that know what's happening with their service members. They're going to see changes that are happening within them, so they need to be aware of the resources that are available outside of drill weekend that they can get, not only for their service member, but even for themselves if they're struggling.
So we still have situations where the soldiers and airmen come in and drill for the weekend, seem okay, and then they go away till next month, but the family might see that there's a problem, that there's something wrong. So you're trying to show the families how to, do they go through the website, beyondtheyellowribbon.org, or are they other resources they're aware of so that they can ask for help?
If they go to beyondtheyellowribbon.org, they can see all of the resources that we have available, everybody from the personal financial counselor to the military family life consultants that can provide free confidential counseling to families, service members, kids. We've got a plethora of resources that are out there, and it's all free to the service members and the family members.
Lieutenant, sounds like things have changed a lot in the last 40 years, and I'm glad.
Yes.
What's next? What's the next step for your programs?
Right now, since we've been doing this training for a few years now, we're really looking at, is what we're doing effective? And if it's not effective, what do we need to change? So we're in a very unique stage right now where, how do we know if our force is becoming more resilient? How do you even measure resilience in somebody? So right now, that's really what we're doing, is analyzing the programs and the training that we're doing. And from there, I would anticipate within the next year, we're going to see even more changes to the program to adjust things to make them as effective as possible for our service members and family members.
Are you getting some good feedback from the service members? How do they like this?
They like it. And we use the feedback that we get through the after-action reviews that we do. Even when service members come home, they go through their series of reintegration events. And at those events, we have a training curriculum that revolves around resilience as well. So not only do the service members provide us feedback, but the family members, if they're there, also provide feedback. So we use that to move forward and to see what we're doing right in areas that we need to improve on in the future.
Lieutenant, we're out of time, but for our listeners, where do they go to our favorite website to get information?
Definitely go to the favorite website, beyondtheyellowribbon.org, and there will be a flyer up there. And those, again, like I said, there's going to be some changes that are coming to the website to be able to provide all of the resources to the families and to the service members if they're looking for it.
Lieutenant, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, great. I appreciate it. Thank you, Tom.
That was Lieutenant Tara Robinson on awareness of mental wellness and resilience resources from the Minnesota National Guard. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Friends, this is Don Pancake, commander of the Minnesota American Legion. As we continue our mission to train school patrols across the state, we encourage you to make a difference. Please visit legionville.org. That's legionville.org.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. An Army squad is made up of 8 soldiers, and when the squad is on patrol, each soldier is dependent on each other for safety. When a soldier is distracted because of a financial crisis with the family back home, that puts every soldier on the squad at risk. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation helps turn a bad situation into a positive one. The foundation provides financial support during a financial crisis at home. This helps re-energize the soldier. The soldier feels the financial burden lifted and has feelings of pride because of the support from the community at home. When the soldier is no longer focused on the financial crisis at home, the soldier is able to stay engaged in the mission and do his duty to protect other soldiers in the squad. When we help one soldier, we're helping all soldiers. When we help one military family, we're helping all military families. If you're in a position to help, please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we'll learn about Fort Snelling's traveling chaplain. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
Duty, honor, pride. These words reflect the spirit of generations of American women who have sought to defend the rights and freedoms of others, said Secretary of Veterans Affairs Eric Shinseki. March is Women's History Month. We take time to observe, celebrate, and pay tribute to the accomplishments women have made throughout history. For years, women have been serving in the military alongside their male counterparts. However, their service often goes unrecognized. As we observe Women's History Month, it's important that we also take time to pay tribute and recognize the service and sacrifice of our women veterans in Minnesota. This month, make it your mission to thank a woman veteran for her service.
Thank you, Commissioner Sheldon. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now from the Fort Snelling Veterans Memorial Chapel is Chaplain Colonel Kenneth Beal, Jr. Chaplain, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Chaplain, I understand you've been involved at the Fort Snelling Chapel for quite a few years now.
Well, it has actually been 12 years that I have been the pastor of the congregation that worships there each Sunday.
And Chaplain, you're still, as of the date of this recording, you're still in the United States Army as a colonel?
That is correct.
And you're coming down to you're winding down that career. But can you tell us a little bit about your military career, sir?
Well, sure. That'd be a pleasure. It will be 25 years of service. I came in rather late in life at 35 years of age, felt the call to enter into the military chaplaincy, and did that in the military chaplaincy as an Army Reserve chaplain, and had the opportunity to convert over to what we call Active Guard Reserve, AGR, and served for about 14 years as an AGR chaplain, which is full-time reservist.
And, sir, I understand you're now the command chaplain, United States Army Support Activity out of Fort Dix, is that right?
Correct. That is my last duty station, having served over that period of time, starting at Fort Snelling with the 88th Regional Readiness Command, and then going on to Fort Knox, where I had the pleasure of serving for 4 years as the Chief of Chaplain Recruiting under the United States Army Reserve, Recruiting Command, and then also 3 years as the Command Chaplain for the United States Army Reserve Command at Fort McPherson, Atlanta, Georgia.
And Chaplain, I'm curious, we've had a lot of deployments around the world since September 11th, 2001. What has that meant for you as command chaplain? Have you been in charge of some recruiting, trying to find other clergy to join? I imagine it's been a busy time.
It has. And in my capacity at the United States Army Reserve Command, had the opportunity to, the recruiting command had the opportunity to lead a team that netted 1,265 chaplains during this time of global war on terrorism. And then to move to the Army Reserve Command position, where I had to put chaplains out into theaters of operation, deploying with their units, many times having to cross-level chaplains because there was a vacancy within the unit, and therefore had to move them into position and deploy them to be it Afghanistan or to Iraq.
Pretty important to have plenty of chaplains to minister to our soldiers, our troops, and to their families as well.
Certainly is.
Now, Chaplain, I'm going to call you Chaplain for the rest of this interview. Chaplain, you've had two parallel careers because you're a member of the clergy as well.
Correct. I've been actually ordained as a United Methodist for the last 37 years of ordained ministry, coming out of the Eastern Pennsylvania Conference and having moved to Minnesota some 25 years ago.
We're speaking with Chaplain Colonel Kenneth Beal, and we will be getting to the stories of the Fort Snelling Veterans Memorial Chapel in just a moment on Minnesota Military Radio. Chaplain, you've had a long career in the military and a long career as clergy, and I understand you spent a few years flying back and forth to Minnesota so that you could serve at the Fort Snelling Chapel. Can you tell us how that all worked?
Well, it's an interesting story. I was serving again at Fort Snelling with the Army Reserve, and when the Army decided to relocate me and move me to Fort Knox, Kentucky, I resigned my position as pastor of the Fort Snelling Memorial Chapel Foundation. However, the leadership of that foundation tore up my letter of resignation and proposed to me that wherever the Army stations you, if you're willing, we will fly you back and forth every weekend. And so for the last 8 years, I've gotten on a plane typically on a Friday and flew back to Minnesota from wherever I was stationed, and then got back on a plane Sunday afternoon following services on Sunday morning and flew back to my duty station. So I was there on time to perform my duties on Monday morning.
And so now as your career is coming to the end in the United States Army, you're going to make Minnesota your home?
Yes, I have my home in Woodbury, was blessed to have been able to maintain that home and literally keep my family in Minnesota while I went on my Army tours for the last 8 years.
Wow. Now, Chaplain, just got a couple of minutes before we have to take a break. Tell me about the Fort Snelling Memorial Chapel. How long ago was that built, and how did this all come about that you got to be the reverend from the chapel?
Well, it's a fabulous historic landmark. It was built between 1927 and 1928, actually built by the Army Corps of Engineers. The then War Department granted the land while we had an active duty presence at Fort Snelling, and the chaplain of the 3rd Infantry Regiment, one of the oldest regiments, incidentally, in the United States Army, dating back to General Washington, was stationed there, and the inspiration of the chaplain was to build a new chapel to honor the requests of children of soldiers who wanted a place of Christian education and worship. And they had a white-framed, typical cantonment-type chapel, and wanted to build this stone structure chapel. The War Department granted the land, but not the willing to build the chapel. So he went about and raised the money, and for $54,000 back then, in 1927-28, they were able to build that lovely chapel that stood there until the active Army left in 1946.
So what happened to the chapel after World War II, and was there a gap there when it was not in use?
Yeah, there was a almost 20-year gap in which it was falling in disrepair. It was being vandalized. Very limited usage for it. And ultimately, there was interest by MnDOT to tear it down in the hopes of some plans that they had for some new highways in that immediate area.
Chaplain, we have to take a short break, but when we come back, I want to talk about how the chapel was saved and how it's been used since it was saved, and we'll get into that a little bit. So we're speaking with Chaplain Colonel Kenneth Beal about the Fort Snelling Veterans Memorial Chapel on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is Major General Rick Nash, Minnesota's Adjutant General, encouraging you to hire today's veterans. Today's veterans have a track record of integrity and have triumphed over adversity. Today's veterans are talented, team-oriented, and technologically savvy. Hiring a service member just makes sense. Veterans have the training, work ethic, and proven skills that will immediately add value to your business. Help good business get better by hiring today's veteran. Visit PositivelyMinnesota.com/veterans.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and I've been joined by Chaplain Colonel Kenneth Beal, Jr., who is the chaplain of the Fort Snelling Veterans Memorial Chapel and also a member of the United States Army, just about finishing up that career, but he's not quite finished with the clergy side of your career, are you, sir?
Not in the least. I'm looking forward now to transitioning from full-time with the Army and mere part-time with Fort Snelling Chapel to that of full-time with the Fort Snelling Chapel.
Now we're getting to the good part now, sir. Fort Snelling Memorial Chapel, after it was reactivated, how was it reactivated? How was it saved? And then what is the chapel's purpose now going forward?
Well, again, the active component of the Army left in 1946, which was right after World War II. Significant footnote, if I might add, Tom, at this point was leading up to the deployment of those veterans of World War II. I am told that weddings were taking place on that center aisle. There was a bride coming down the aisle every 20 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
So it was that chapel was in some pretty heavy use leading up to World War II, and very significantly at that chapel, one who was united in marriage, the highest ranking that I'm aware of, but he didn't bear that rank when he took the walk on the aisle, and that is John Vesey, who rose, of course, as we all know, to the rank of 4-star and became the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He and his bride were married at Fort Snelling Chapel.
There's a little bit of trivia for our listeners in there.
There you go.
But the chapel was in danger of being destroyed almost.
Yeah, there was this period of time in which it was in disrepair, and there seemed to have been disinterest in saving it. But that is what prompted the raising of the name of our organization, Fort Snelling Memorial Chapel Foundation. It was raised as a 501c3, established to preserve the building and to keep it. But it made no sense to preserve and keep it if you weren't going to then host regular services. And so for the last 45 years, since saving it from the wrecking ball, there is this Fort Snelling Memorial Chapel Foundation who hosts non-denominational Christian worship services at 11 o'clock every Sunday at the chapel.
We're speaking with Chaplain Kenneth Beal about the Fort Snelling Veterans Memorial Chapel on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Chaplain, we saved it from the wrecker, and I assume they've done some remodeling of the chapel going forward. And what kind of shape is it in now? I've seen the pictures. It looks beautiful.
Well, I would encourage you, Tom, to come on out and visit with us. It is a beautiful facility. It's got a wonderful historic stained glass window of religious figures, of military figures, also of Minnesota unique individuals portrayed in stained glass. There's over 80 memorials that are posted throughout the chapel. It has some rather significant, particularly toward the veteran. The whole sanctuary is adorned with flags and accompanying streamers of all Minnesota-based units that adorn the entire sanctuary area. And as I said, numerous plaques to which one can go along and read and pick up some military history as well as spiritual history from that chapel. But it's in great repair, and it's actively used on our part every Sunday at 11. But I might also add that it's within a mile of the National Cemetery, and so it has now experienced more and more increased use as a chapel for rendering of final honors of our military veterans before being laid to rest at Fort Snelling Chapel. And on weekends, it can host upward of 5 weddings per weekend. And so it's pretty heavily used for that as well, in a lovely setting indeed for a wedding.
Chaplain, I hope you have some help with some of those funerals and weddings and services that you perform there. I know you have an assistant chaplain, don't you?
I do. Chaplain Mike Wallman, also a retired, he's an Army chaplain. But we do not do all those weddings and funerals. The beauty of the chapel is it belongs to the state. It is operated by the state, and persons who rent the chapel for weddings, for funerals, they can certainly bring in their own clergy, their own judges, whomever they wish to officiate and preside over their events.
Chaplain, do you have a regular congregation that shows up most every Sunday?
We do. We have a regular congregation. We average about 150, 160 people per week. It only comfortably seats about 220 on the main floor, so that's not a bad attendance that we have on Sundays. We have a membership, and we're very committed to not only hosting services, but making steady improvements upon the building. Most perhaps recently was the historic Kimball pipe organ was in disrepair, and we raised monies to the tune of $94,000 to restore it completely, not to replace, but to restore. And we were able to do that fundraising effort, and even more recently, we moved the chapel into complete air conditioning, which is a delightful experience in the summertime.
Chaplain, I know you've got some special services as well on holidays.
We do. We feature and zoom in on, of course, many of the veteran holidays, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, Gold Star Mother's Day, Pearl Harbor Sunday. We zoom in on Four Chaplains Sunday. So we have a half dozen very special services that are focused on high veteran related events, aside from the what you would normally have of spiritual holidays that are also experienced on Sundays.
Chaplain, I'm visualizing getting my family together, coming out for services at 11 o'clock some Sunday, and then going over and visiting Fort Snelling itself.
Oh, the historic site is just within easy walking distance to go out to the Frontier Fort.
A nice way to spend a Sunday late morning, afternoon.
Be delightful.
And it'll be fun to come out and hear you speak, sir. You have indicated that the foundation, the Fort Snelling Memorial Chapel Foundation, is a 501c3 nonprofit. So if our listeners want to help support the chapel, are there several ways to do that?
There are. They could certainly visit our website, which is at www.fortsnellingmcf.org. And there are opportunities, whether one wants to direct some support to the Oregon Restoration Fund and Maintenance or the Historic, to which we replace and repair things like stained glass and so forth when in falling into disrepair. Any of that would be of great assistance. But most of all, we welcome people's presence at worship with us.
Chaplain, I'm going to make a point of coming out there. I'm looking forward to seeing you. If you've got any final thoughts for our visitors, our listeners, about visiting the Fort Snelling Veteran Memorial Chapel?
Well, we would welcome anyone to come and see, whether you experience it in our worship at 11 o'clock each Sunday, or as the DNR hosts on the first and third Sundays of every month, they have an open house at the chapel from 1:30 to 3 o'clock, to which anyone is welcome to come and to take in the sights and pay a visit to the chapel. We'd be delighted to have anybody. They'll find a warm welcome by coming and visiting the chapel and just come to an appreciation of some rich history, Minnesota history, that is contained within the walls of that historic chapel.
Chaplain, I want to thank you for taking the time to visit with us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
It was my pleasure. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, sir. We'll have a link to the site. It's once again fortsnellingmcf.org on our Facebook. That was Chaplain Colonel Kenneth Beal on the Fort Snelling Veterans Memorial Chapel on Minnesota Military Radio. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. If you have a mailbag question or suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Lee Elfertz, the VFW Department Commander, Lieutenant Tara Robertson, Chaplain Colonel Kenneth Beal, Commissioner Larry Shalado of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we hear from one of the state's top military doctors and discover a hunting guide service available to our wounded warriors. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.